I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And welcome to the latest edition of the Ruthless Aggression Podcast here on the Barber's Chair Network. I'm Chris Novak. I'm joined today by my co-host Rob O'Neill and frequent guest of the show and also our partner in crime for the Retro Review Podcasts, Chris Osborne. Pierce, unfortunately, is feeling under the weather. We send our best to him and hope that he recovers promptly and orderly. But right now it is us three doing the show. And it's going to be a busy one. We have a decent chunk to talk about. We've got a pay-per-view coming up tomorrow on the WWE Network, the final one before the switch to Peacock.
Yep.
That being Elimination Chamber. We also have a pay-per-view to talk about from 2005, No Way Out, the final SmackDown pay-per-view on the road to WrestleMania. Obviously, a very busy show that was.
Yeah. And I think it's the final time for hopefully a while that the 2021 and 2005 pay-per-views line up.
Well,
I know it doesn't for
we
Mania.
Know it doesn't. We know it doesn't for Mania because it's the week before.
Yeah.
But obviously the rest of the
I don't
year
know.
Will be
a is little... there a WWE pay-per-view schedule past Mania at this moment?
No.
Yeah.
So. Nothing yet. I'm assuming that we're probably going to find all that stuff out probably starting next month, but nothing. And I imagine that a lot of that has to just maybe not uncertainty. Uncertainty, I don't think.
No, I think that's the right word. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Uncertainty. We'll go with uncertainty. Not that I think that they're going to be touring because they said they weren't going to be touring for a while. But yeah, uncertainty would be the word. But yeah, Chris, welcome back to the show. This is your first one since we did you a bit of a catch up back in the summer.
Yeah, it's been a while. And watched the show today and I forgot how much I did not see back in 05, so it was very interesting to watch and see what was going on.
Yeah, so obviously before we jump to there, we have to talk about some current dealings in the world of wrestling. Unfortunately, that means we have to sometimes talk about things that happen on social media. And in this case, I don't know if I should say for once that it was the wrestlers who embarrassed themselves more than the wrestling fans. However, that's exactly what happened. So you probably know this by now if you listen to this show, what happened earlier this week. It was on Wednesday, a couple hours before NXT started. The WWE on Fox Twitter account posted a meme, the game of, you know, oh, you get X amount of dollars and you have to build a team. You know, you have the tiers of, you know, $5, $4, $3, $2, $1. You've probably seen this on pretty much every medium, including WWE on Fox, because they just did one 2 months ago for War Games and for Survivor Series as well a couple months before. You've probably seen it if you, you know, if you listen to this show, chances are you're in the middle of the Venn diagram of wrestling watchers and sports watchers. So you've seen them do it for the NFL. You've seen it doing them do it for the NBA. You may have seen it for MLB if they've done that for that. You've probably seen it done for superheroes as well. And, you know, they did it for the women. And apparently the women of WWE had never seen this before. or decided that they wanted to get collectively mad about something, because that's the only reaction that I could get to the reactions that came about from the women's locker room, or at least some of them. So kind of started with Liv harmlessly saying that it was worse than Satin's tier list that he made. And then Peyton Royce chimed in. Billy Kay would chime in. Carmella would chime in. Carmella would make a very big thing about it. Then Natalya would chime in with a notes app response. This would bubble into several people like Shelton Benjamin, Matt Cardona, formerly known as Zack Ryder.
Kurt Hawkins.
Kurt Hawkins also would later chime in. Dana Brooke would chime in. Mandy Rose would chime in. All to the point where WWE on Fox had to delete the post. Now, I'm going to save my thoughts for last year, but this was one of the most ridiculous things I think I've ever seen.
I don't know. I've gone back and forth on it. Like, originally I was like, okay, maybe they shouldn't have done that. And then I thought Natalya took it too far. But I don't, if someone feels that way, then, you know, whatever. I mean, maybe they shouldn't. You know, people like Bayley and Charlotte and Sasha clearly didn't
Bayley care literally about, yeah. told them that it wasn't real.
Yeah.
And then flipped it into a character thing, which it's all that they had to do. But apparently no, they did, I mean, not.
Like, okay, I get it. You know, it's rough sledding to kind of tell people how to feel about something like that. But at the same time, it's kind of telling that it's mostly white women that seemingly just want to feel oppressed. Which is a common theme of white women. I don't know. I mean, it's so tough. And, you know, there was really good discussion about this. Joe Holbert, Jeremy Lambert the other day on the Distraction, good podcast on Fightful. They covered it very well, I think, too. I don't know, man. Like, I don't care. I get why I think, you know, someone like Natalya would care. Because, but at the same time, like, she's been with the company for so long. Does she really not know at this point, like, if she's good enough or not? Maybe she doesn't. But you're also, you know, 40 years old. Like, you've been there forever. You're going to be there forever. Like, why are you letting this bother you so much?
Yeah. I mean, that's me. I guess it's one thing. She knows that there is a hierarchy, you know, that's just the way that things go in the industry. Like, you have a hierarchy of where people stand and you are at a certain level. But I guess it's another thing when the company out just flat out says it, and it's not even the company. I mean, it's whoever is running, you know, WWE on Fox social media that's doing it. But I guess it is one thing for that to just be like right out there to like see it, to like see a list. But yeah, to me, it's such a non-issue. You know where you stand with everybody. You know how you are in the company and how the company treats you and how the company sees you. But it was all a bit of much for nothing.
It feels like something that wouldn't happen in any other sport or form of entertainment.
Right, exactly.
If it did, it would be met with absolute hilarity from every angle, from not only fellow players, but also fans and the like.
Yeah, I mean, like,
the same thing happened with the Avengers people. Yeah. When Chris Pratt was named like the worst Chris ever, and all of them came out to support him. Like, it's just a list. You're Chris Pratt. You make like millions of dollars. Why do you care?
For the record, I think you two are both better Chris's than Chris Pratt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was never a doubt in my mind. But thank you.
No bar to clear.
Yeah.
No, I mean. And I say it like no other athletes would probably do it, and it would be met with, you know, mockery or whatever. Like, yeah, Michael Thomas would probably do it.
Yeah,
like,
if and then everyone would mock him because that's exactly what they do.
You want an example of a guy who would do it, Michael Thomas would do it, and then he'd get mocked for it. Yeah. But like an NBA one?
It happens in sports all the time. Whenever you have like awards that are given for, you know, by like the writers instead of the players, or you're getting Pro Bowl, you know, by fan votes or, you know, something like that to, you know, to do some arbitrary ranking, like you're going to see snubs, and some people will be, you know, have the baby face or, you know, poo face about it and everything. But most of them are just going to take it in stride and not care too much about it. Unless it affects the amount of pay that you're getting, I wouldn't take any offense to anything.
you know what my thing is, like, so there's a couple of things. First of all, you'd mentioned that, you know, it's one thing, you know, to see it written out there. Here's my thing. If Natalya gets hurt by that, how is she going to think when she realizes that she's teaming with Tamina?
They picked up a big win.
A win that they did not, absolutely 100% did not need to get, but for whatever reason they decided to do that, and I'm running with the idea that they wanted to appease her and, you know, heal her bruised ego, because that's the only way that it would make sense for her to do that. But, like, you're Natalya at this point. Like, where do you think that you stand?
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's the thing. They know where they stand. Yeah, they know where
they know. Have to know. And honestly, to me, it's like, if all these women are going to get this in their feelings about something like that, something as harmless as a reusable game that's been going on for like 4 or 5 years now, imagine what happens behind the curtain.
Oh yeah,
that was one of my first thoughts. Like, oh, if you're going to get this upset about this, what are we not seeing that they're all getting upset about?
Yeah,
honestly,
exactly.
Like what, like that kind of, to me, that kind of, you know, pulling the wool over the eyes or whatever. Like, oh, if they're this upset about this, there's probably a lot more that they're upset well, about we don't realize.
You know what the other thing is about Natalya going, you know, so hard with it too is, I mean, we saw the Yokozuna thing after the Royal Rumble where Bret Hart's still mad at him for having a bad match 20 years after he died. I mean, that's how they are. They're marks.
Gonna heart. Of course they're. They're total marks. But honestly, like, for Natty, it's like, she arguably gets too much at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 years in a row, she had Rumble performances that, like, could have been given to somebody else. And at the end of the day, like, you're right. They can feel how they want to, but I'm definitely going to side-eye you if you make a big, big, hilarious stink about that to the degree that they did, especially Natty, who clearly was in her feelings all day and night, because at 38 years old, she was making little sub-tweets on Instagram and be like, you are enough. Like, really?
Yeah. And the worst part about it being Natty, too, is that that's where it leads to other people jumping in, like your Curt Hawkins, like their Brian Myers, like the Matt Cardonas. You know, that's the only reason they jumped in. If Liv Morgan would have said something, or some random person that they're not real friends with, this wouldn't have even gone into them. You know, this wouldn't have snowballed so much. I think the worst part of this, though, is that Total Divas isn't around, so we couldn't have like a whole episode based on this moment.
I agree.
That would have done ratings for me.
Yeah,
that would have been great. Well, go ahead.
Well, that's another thing. Like, I don't know. I know money's not everything, but you're making significant money. You're fine.
Money is everything. Well, if you have money, chances are you're probably happy, and you can be able to afford things that make you happy. She's making. She probably makes six figures. She's probably built up a ton of wealth. She clearly has enough wealth to run a pandemic performance center, a whole ass wrestling ring where she's helping to train some of these wrestlers that are coming in. They all had a bunch of them on the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them came in, and she has clearly a lot of nice stuff. Like, okay, you're way too grown and you make way too much money to be hurt by this. And if everyone's response was, oh yeah, what would you like? How would you know how would you feel if you were told you were worth $1? You know what I'd do? I'd show my paycheck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, clearly, it's not meant to say, oh, this person is only worth $1. Like, it's just, it's a game. It's fun.
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of the fan backlash is this is something that the common person isn't going to relate with because.
Yeah, that too.
You know, for the most part, it's like, okay, I don't care. Like, you know, there's a pandemic. Yeah. Focus on shit that matters.
I would love to, once again, and this isn't the first time this has happened, and it won't be the last, I would like to see the locker room come together.
Exactly.
And go at somebody or go at something that actually matters.
Yeah, yeah, I
like,
mean, you
like a certain NXT ref, you know?
Certain NXT that, WWE, I mean, ref. Who,
you have people who aren't wearing masks. You know.
They're the same people who complain about this, by the way.
Yeah.
I saw you, Dana Brooke. I saw you, Mandy Rose, out without your mask on a night ago. You're going to complain about this. You're already going down the card on Raw. you want to complain about this and you wonder why you're in that spot.
Yeah.
And honestly, the funniest part to me was just the fact that apart from Bailey making a joke about it, nobody in the upper tiers even made a mention of it.
No.
Nobody of them did. None of them did.
I mean, Charlotte doesn't care. Sasha doesn't care. Becky probably doesn't even know what happened. She's got other shit going on. I mean,
Sasha doesn't even tweet that much about wrestling these days. Have you seen her Twitter?
Yeah, exactly.
She's all about just promotion. She tweets every once in a blue moon.
Rob's a crew leader. He knows all about it.
Yeah, she's a NASCAR flag waver.
Yeah.
She's the star of The Mandalorian, starring Mercedes.
She's also going to be the new female lead of The Mandalorian. So,
it recasts as Cara Dune. Yes.
Yeah.
My biggest thing just was like, okay, this is such a white feminism type of thing, and it just rubs me the wrong way because they're not out there for the other women who get sabotaged worse.
Well, it's very easy to get upset about things that don't matter. That too. Mm-hmm. And that's the other
thing. That's true.
Like, you know, take a stand against, you know, the NXT ref or whatever, you know, people that don't wear masks. That's hard. That's hard to do that. That actually requires, you know, courage and, you know, not just firing off tweets.
They should.
No, I agree.
They earn my respect.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but like my big thing is just like, man, if there's this much dissent over this, I can't imagine how things are backstage. I really can't.
Yeah.
I really cannot.
I mean,
I really cannot at this point, because that, like I said, that's my big thing here.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
It seems crazy, but I mean,
do you want to move on to the other big social media topic of the week?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on to the other big social media topic of the week. So later that night, because Wednesday was just a day from Hades, Kyle O'Reilly was involved in the main event of NXT. It was a 6-man tag. O'Reilly teamed with Roderick Strong and Finn Balor against Pete Dunne, Danny Burch, and Oney Lorcan. And Adam Cole came out. Cole, of course, had super kicked Finn Balor to end Vengeance Day and super kicked Kyle O'Reilly to kind of drive a wedge between those two. And Cole hit a suplex on O'Reilly on the base of the steel steps, which my first reaction was, holy crap, I can't believe they actually did that. And then secondly was, wow, even Cole took some of the brunt of that. Like, it did not look like it was, you know, a great move to do. And then, you know, they were doing a stretcher job, and there were some pictures that were put up on Twitter, and one person had said that O'Reilly had a seizure. And, you know, the first two things you jump to are either, okay, did he get dropped on his head so badly that he was induced into a seizure, or did he, you know, slip into a diabetic coma? Because as everyone knows, Kyle O'Reilly is a type 1 diabetic.
Yep.
So you start wondering, like, okay, this seems like a serious situation. And that starts snowballing all over Twitter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the wrestlers catch wind of that, because I imagine it was, well, knowing what we know now, I can't imagine there was much chaos. But they read off of Twitter. They start sending their get well messages to him, because they read what's happening there and they don't realize what's going on. And then, as it turns out, he didn't have a seizure at all. It was just a stretcher job and an angle. And, you know, that came out after midnight. So it was like, oh, did we really all think that he had a seizure because someone stupidly posted that he had a seizure? Yes, that's exactly what happened.
Well, so a couple things here, if I could just go first.
Go ahead.
I mean, listen, you have fans there. You know it's going to get out that you're doing this. So, I mean, why not be in front of it and post it pretty much right away that here we did this stretcher job, you know?
Because if they did that with the knowledge that he might have had a seizure, they would be like, oh, my God, why are they running an angle where someone has a seizure?
No, get out in front of that knowledge, though. That's the thing. Like,
but they obviously didn't know.
Yeah.
What clearly happened was that
it was clear that they didn't make that connection when they planned the angle.
No, because one person decided to say that he had a seizure.
Yeah.
And then that spread like wildfire because it's Twitter and misinformation spreads on Twitter like wildfire all the time. I mean, people quote tweet fake accounts every freaking day.
It's true.
So,
well, I don't know. I mean, you know what the thing is like doing a stretcher job makes sense in the context of how the show ended and, you know, how the angle went. I mean, it makes a ton of sense. So it's like, I guess I'm confused where the confusion came from with the exception of just
one person
saying something, which,
and according to Fightful Select, I can probably talk about this because it was sent out on the 18th. It's the 20th. What it basically happened was it was a storyline all along, but unfortunately one in parentheses, dumb exclamation point fan posted photos of it and started a rumor that it was a seizure. Considering O'Reilly's history of diabetes, this caused a lot of concern among even the NXT roster, who weren't sure if the situation was real or not. This isn't out of the ordinary, as most of the roster isn't clued into all aspects of created. Sources we spoke to adamantly stated this was not a seizure storyline, and no mention of such was brought up when the angle was pitched or executed. When they realized how out of hand the incorrect rumors were, they sent word that it was just a storyline, which is what happened with Wrestling Inc. It would also happen with Ryan Satt. Because they probably saw this and they were like, are you kidding me? Did this really just happen? We need to get out. We need to say something now. And I'm not surprised that, you know, they were late to it, because what the hell would they know?
Yeah.
If it was a situation where what we thought was happening, where it was so chaotic that they had to make sure that he was okay, then yeah, it would make sense as to why they were late with, you know, any message or whatever. But I mean, they probably walked into basically, you know, it's like you're walking that one gif where you're walking in and you see everything's on fire. Like, yeah.
And this is, to an extent, like, yeah, we shouldn't believe it, but this is also the flip side of social media. Both of these things
that
we've talked about are
very much so,
where we know too much about the wrestlers now, and we have just this 24/7 access to everything where, you know, it's hard to work an angle. And this is why I think so many people look back on the Attitude Era and the Ruthless Aggression Era so fondly, because it's not that it was necessarily I mean, the in-ring product wasn't better. You know, it's excellent right now in terms of in-ring stuff, but you know, you didn't know as much. Like, there were ways to seek out information, obviously, and you could, and, you know, but you didn't have just this constant stream coming at you of, you know, information and how these people are as people and just all that. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's, how can you work an angle like that in 2021? That's the question.
By not having somebody say that they had a seizure.
You can't control that, though.
Yeah, you can't control all those Full Sail doctors, you know, that are in the crowd.
Exactly.
You know, that are diagnosing seizures. I mean, from the video that they put out, I didn't see anything. Like, I have people in my family who have had seizures before. I've seen people have seizures. I mean, unless Kyle was really doing, you know, a Terry Funk style sell job, you know, at one point, I don't know where they got the idea that he was even having one. To begin with. And it's just crazy, because like, how are you diagnosing that or sending that out there? Even if, you know, you were there and you thought that, like, you don't know what's happening.
No. Yeah. And I mean, that's really the issue.
It's tough, but yeah. I mean, it sucks, because obviously, you know, that could have been a dangerous situation if that is what indeed happened. But now it's like, oh, no, all of us were worked.
Well, then you had people getting mad, like, oh, why'd they do an angle where he had a seizure? And
because he did.
It's like, yeah, it's like, they didn't. So now you're mad for no reason, because you didn't actually wait for anything for any word from anybody with, you know, actual access to these people.
Yeah.
And that's behind it. And yeah, I do agree. Yeah, WWE should have been ready sooner to release something, releasing the video or just doing anything of notice about that.
But
to even put out there that it would, like, not that you had to like announce like, oh, it's an angle or anything, but I mean, even just announce like, oh, I don't know, do your WWE speak that would lend itself to believe that, oh, it's all an angle.
Yeah.
But I think the problem was that thing caught on so hard and was spreading like wildfire that if they did put out the video, people would have automatically jumped to, oh, it was a seizure.
Well, that's true, but
that's the problem. Like, because everything snowballed so far out of control by that point that if they released something, because that news came out within like a half hour of the show ending.
Mm-hmm.
So if they would have had to have released that video probably like 5 or 10 minutes into after NXT. They don't do that. They let their videos trickle out.
Yeah. But I mean, you could have put a tweet out that just said, like, I don't know, Kyle's responsive, fine, or, you know, something that's, I don't know. I guess you couldn't even do that, because if they would have said that, they would have believed it was a
teaser
too. But you're damned if you do, damned if you don't at that point anyways. But I think the quicker you can at least make something or say something, the better in those situations. Fastest way to stop the spread is to put out a little bit of the truth, or at least a little bit of what you need people to know to keep the story going.
Yeah. Let's see. What else happened this week?
Jericho's wife was at the Capitol.
That is correct. Yeah.
We did have TakeOver Vengeance Day, the aforementioned event. And we had, I think it was a really good show.
Yeah.
I think if it was in front of a crowd, I think this could have been, you know, like a top 5 TakeOver of all time, because every match was really good to great to amazing. So if there was a legitimate, because this was a big arena show somewhere, this would have been magnified even more. Yeah. You know, we had Dakota and Raquel winning the Women's Dusty Cup. Gargano retained over Kushida. MSK defeated the Grizzled Young Veterans to win the Men's Dusty Cup. Io Shirai retained her title in a pretty good triple threat match with Mercedes Martinez and Toni Storm, who apparently has the power to collapse tables now.
Yeah.
And Finn retained over Pete Dunne. Finn has an argument right now, I think, to be the best wrestler in the world. That's just my personal take after the last couple of months. He's not missed since he became champion. He really hasn't missed since that match against Damian Priest at In Your House.
Yeah.
I like that match.
Yeah, that's good.
And then they seemed on Wednesday, they teased Dakota and Raquel against Shayna and Nia Jax in a segment where MSK were absolutely hilarious in the background.
Yeah, they're great.
Of course. I said it before, I'll say it again. I had no prior knowledge of MSK before
the
NXT. I didn't watch. I knew who the Rascals were. I never watched any of their matches. It's been a long time since someone who I had no prior knowledge of watching has like swooped me in, made me a fan. Thinking about it, like, not since like Kairi, and then before that, like Asuka. Like, just no prior knowledge going in of what they had ever done. And just totally swept me off my feet like MSK has. They're incredible. And I honestly hope they win the tag titles on March 3rd. I hope they don't pussyfoot around.
No, it feels like that's the move. Like, you know, no offense to Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, who are very good. It's kind of been a weird title run for them, but
honestly, like, they earned the title run.
Yeah.
But
no, it was overdue.
Getting the titles for them feels like, you know, it was something that they had earned. And so giving them was, you know, the moment for them.
Yeah.
But now MSK are white hot, might as well drop the titles.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. And they have like a line of heel teams that they can go up against now. And I mean, that's a bigger problem, the fact that there are so many heels on all the brands pretty much. Yeah. But at least now you have a babyface tag team that should be set up to really go through a bunch of opponents and have a lengthy run at the top right now.
Honestly, the lack of strong baby faces is a problem in like all of wrestling right now.
Well, that's true.
Going to be honest.
Yeah.
It's not even just inclusive to just WWE or NXT or anything like that. Like that's a legitimate problem and issue like all across wrestling.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, baby faces rely more on the crowd as well. So
this is true.
But you have an artificial crowd. You could make anybody you want as a baby face. It should be easier right now.
That should be easier.
Right? That's true.
Pipe in some goddamn cheers.
That's true. But yeah, no, it was a very good show. I mean, no real surprise. Well, I guess Ember and Shotzi not winning was a bit of a surprise, but
yeah,
it kind of is what it is.
It kind of is what it is.
And I think Kushida not winning was a little surprising as well.
I think for Gargano, he hasn't had a long title reign ever.
Yeah.
Like, this is, aside from his tag title runs, his singles title runs, he only held the title from TakeOver New York to TakeOver 25. And then, you know, the last couple of North American championship runs that he's had, because this is obviously not his first run, because his first run was literally recognized as 25 days. He lost it at the very next taping.
Yeah.
To a person we're not mentioning on the show. And then he held it for 14 days. This is 77 days. This is his longest title run.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I think you keep the title on him too, because then you get Gargano to use up, you know, Candace and Indy and then Theory too. So I think without the title, the show, it'd be harder to place him on the show, even though he's so good. Like, just to find time, at least now with the North American title, as he still holds it, you know, you're guaranteed that spot on the show. You don't have to fight for time. Like, it's a guaranteed set.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
That's fair. Yeah.
I definitely agree with that notion.
Let's see. Anything else happen? Actually, the show got very favorable reviews in The Observer, which I'm a little surprised about, but everything got...
I mean, are you, though? Dave and... They don't usually bash NXT.
That's true.
NXT gets very favorable. I mean, they got
the big shows get very, very favorable reviews.
They got 2 5 stars at NOLA.
Well, that's true.
Well, yeah, but it's a 7-star scale. So
this is true. It's
true.
By 2018, it was a 7-star scale. That is very true.
yeah. 24/7 champion Bad Bunny is on Saturday Night Live tonight.
That is correct. Nice.
That's a guy they've gotten behind.
I really hope that they have Truth on there, because that would be one of his biggest breaks ever.
Yeah, I think that'd be a blast. Arn Anderson's
Who's gonna win? Who's gonna win the 24/7 title tonight on SNL?
Yeah, I don't know.
God, are they gonna wait? Are they gonna? Do you think that they would do something with Jost and Che?
God, I hope not.
It would end tonight. It wouldn't.
They've
last,
interacted but... before.
I know, but those guys suck.
Well, no kidding. I don't mind Che.
Give it to Keenan.
Wait.
Yeah.
Who's the host? Who's host?
Someone I've never heard of, I believe.
Oh. Well, maybe they'll win the title.
Who is Jean person? Page?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
He's in
Bridgerton.
He's in Bridgerton.
That's a show people like.
Oh. Yeah.
There you go.
But yeah, Arn Anderson is upset about this new trend of celebrities in wrestling.
This new trend that's been happening for 40 years.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, all the old guys need to just take some time off and not say things for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just don't get it. Like, that's, you want mass appeal? Like, you want to bring fans in? Or if you're just happy with the same, you know, 2 million people based on ratings that watch every week, I mean, then I guess you're fine with it, but yeah. Gotta at least try to bring something.
Exactly. So it's fine. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. I don't even know, man.
We can
get into Elimination Chamber, I guess. Even though the card is weird as currently listed, because
it is very weird, because Asuka versus Lacey Evans is still listed. It's still
promoted on Instagram.
And promoted on Instagram, despite the fact that Lacey Evans is in real life pregnant. Wow. I think.
Can't believe Asuka's in a handicap match.
Oh. Well, we can get into this real quick if we want to start with that match, because... Well,
do we want to start? Because we don't even know if it's happening.
Well, I think Lacey will be like, oh, you know, Peyton, take my opportunity for me. And then Asuka gets another really bad
Okay, Asuka wins, and we continue on to another women's match that I have my strongest reservations about. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler are defending the Women's Tag Team Championships against SmackDown Women's Champion Sasha Banks and 2021 Women's Royal Rumble winner Bianca Belair. This match was heavily teased 8 days ago when Bianca and Sasha were in the ring with Nia and Shayna. And then last night on SmackDown, they were once again crossing paths on the second episode of the greatest talk show in WWE history, Ding Dong Hello. And you know, led to a 6-person tag with Reginald for some reason pinning Nia Jax.
Yeah, what are they doing with Reginald and
I
Carmella?
I have no idea. I honestly have no idea what this is leading to. I thought that last week that, you know, that angle where he gave her the champagne, that it was going to lead to her it being spiked.
That would have been bad. I'm glad they didn't do that.
Well, they done that with Montez the previous summer. That was the recycling that angle would be kind of silly.
Well, it's a little different too.
Well, I think it depends on what the level of spike would be like. Would it just be with a drug, or would it just been too much alcohol?
Yeah, that's true.
To be fair, you could have pulled that off. But anyways, this match came about that way. Interestingly enough, of course, Lana and Naomi were top contenders a couple weeks ago, but Sasha and Bianca have now cut the line and are getting this title shot against Nia and Shayna. I will spin it to you guys first. What are your predictions here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you put the belts on Sasha and Bianca just to try and pop a number since Raquel and Dakota are getting their shot on March 3rd and you're going against Shaq and Tully Blanchard's in-ring return. But I don't know, man. Like, you don't need to do this. You could just not do this and be... You want to build the Sasha and Bianca, have one of them cost the other one this match. They don't need to win the titles. There's no reason for that. I don't know. I agree. I think Nia and Shayna are a pretty good tag team, too. Like, you know, say what you want about particularly Nia, but they're a good team. I like them. And I don't think Naomi should get passed over. You know, they'll still probably get their shot at some point, but I just, you know, I think to get cut in the line like that is bad and not something that people should really be rooting for, because, you know, everyone on Twitter rightfully wants more Naomi, wants her to have more opportunities. And then, you know, Sasha comes along and is just going to push her out of the way. Like, I don't know, man.
Well, it's her theme song.
It doesn't sit right with me. It's true.
Sorry, you said it. You left that low hanging fruit.
That is true. But yeah, I mean, I would like to see Nia and Shayna retain.
Sure. Yeah. I think Sasha turns, or, you know, just I don't even know if she's a face or a heel half the time anyways. I say Sasha jumps off the apron when Bianca goes for a tag, leaving her alone. Give me Shayna and Nia versus Dakota and Raquel, and then put the women's titles, the tag titles on NXT TV. That's where they need to be. They have so many women down there.
Yeah.
Just keep them down there for a while. Let them and bring some of the main roster women down to there. Who cares?
Well, they should. And
well, I think it should be the other way around.
Well, yeah, but you're trying to pop a number on NXT as well at this point, which...
I know that that's something that they would do, and that's something that I've kind of, you know, hinted and winked at. So part of me is, you know, leery that they're going to do this, well, but it's so, so blatantly unnecessary. Because...
Well, having two pay-per-views between the Rumble and WrestleMania is unnecessary.
What is Fastlane
that's something that I've talked about every year.
What does Fastlane have to do with that, though?
Nothing, because all the champions, like last year, are probably going to be off Fastlane.
But also, you say, oh, the two champions... Okay, you want to solve that problem? Just have them face Naomi and Lana. No. Or make this a triple threat. What was stopping them from making this a triple threat? You're both contenders. Naomi and Lana literally earned the right to do this. No. Sasha and Bianca... are getting this title shot because they're getting the title shot. I mean, Reginald pinned Nia. They didn't pin Nia. None of them pinned the champion, if you want to go with that trope.
It sometimes feels like Raw and SmackDown are not booked by the same team of people.
They're probably not.
And yeah, I mean...
But, like, it's... First of all, I hope that Nia and Shayna win. I don't know what my prediction of this is. It's literally a toss-up, in my opinion. But if you do this with Sasha and Bianca, here's what happens. Here's where I get a little worried because things get a little unclear. First of all, we would have another two belt champion. We would have this for what? The third time in 9 months? And the fourth time since Becky had both titles?
I'm not going to do this with you.
But it's stupid. But you know what? You know why I would be annoyed by this? Because it would muddy that up.
Yeah.
It would make that feel less special and less significant, because say what you want about it, it was a big deal that they held all the gold. Now you're doing this again after you just had Asuka hold the Raw Women's title and the Smack and the Women's Tag Team titles.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're doing this again for what reason? What do you need to do this for? For nothing. Second off, okay, if you do this, then you automatically have to pretty much rewrite your mistake that you made in the summer by having Bayley and Sasha hold the tag titles for too long and hold all the titles for too long, which they did. It's okay to admit that they did. And it's like, okay, then your option is you have to have them lose to Dakota and Raquel on NXT. But the issue there is, okay, you know, Chris, you said that they should go down to NXT. To a point, I agree. But my one worry and my one concern about that is, okay, if they have them in NXT, what are you doing with the rest of the women on the roster? Because if you don't have them cross-pollinate as they should, then you're left with a bunch of women hanging around in purgatory. And basically have driven the Riot Squad into the ground. They only have one win apiece since 2021 came around. So we can pretty much, unless they do the Lord's work in trying to build them back up, you've already basically ruled out WrestleMania for a title win for them that's going to feel any significance at all whatsoever. And then my other concern is, okay, if you give them the titles and then by some ungodly chance that they actually retained over Dakota and Raquel, what do you do next? Do you do a title match at Fastlane? Because if you do a title match at Fastlane, you do a title change, it's like, okay, we have 2 weeks to build to Mania. Now we're going to have a women's tag team title match that no one's going to give a shit about.
Well, yeah.
And then if you have them go into WrestleMania as champions, there's not going to be a women's tag team title match. Why would there be? You're going to have them pull double duty when they would probably main event night one? Because they're not main eventing night two. Roman and Edge are probably main eventing
night two. Well, I don't know that SmackDown's going to main event both nights, but
Sasha and Bianca is going to main event night one. Mm. And Edge and Roman will main event night two. It doesn't matter what brand it is. It didn't matter last year. I'm pretty certain, at least.
Well, the night one main event was Undertaker and AJ. That
Which was
really,
Raw.
That doesn't. Well,
that was on Raw, and then the Raw main event in night two.
Well, I don't know. Undertaker and AJ isn't really
yes, it
on
is.
Raw.
Yes, it was. Yeah,
AJ
was.
Is, but Undertaker.
Undertaker was on
doesn't,
Raw.
Doesn't the have
feud,
a brand.
The feud was on Raw. Yeah. It was a Raw match.
That's fair.
So, again, if you have them be champs going to Mania, then you're not going to have a Mania tag title match, and you're literally taking opportunities away from other people.
And well, yeah, but I don't want them to be champions, so it's okay. I have Shayna and Nia retaining anyway.
Yes, Shayna and Nia need to retain.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I mean, my thing is too, though, like you said, what do the women do if you put the tag titles in NXT? They do the same thing that they've been doing for the past decade, which is to have pointless tag matches that lead to nowhere, which is what they're still doing on either or other brand when the tag titles aren't to be defended. So,
yeah.
I mean, like, honestly, they're still going to be in the same situation they are now. It's just that the women's tag titles are down in NXT. And maybe you can bring, you know, Dakota and Raquel go to one of the shows every now and then. But, I mean, to me, it's they're in the same situation, whether the titles are in SmackDown, Raw, or in NXT, with what they do with the women.
That's fair. But I think if they want to, you know, continue to make this a thing, that they need to, you know, open up the restrictions a little bit. They already have been a little bit with, you know, Nia and Shayna appearing this past week and with Lucha House Party making their sporadic appearances on NXT. So they're mm-hmm. running little test balloons.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be upset if they did that with Dakota and Raquel, if the tag titles landed on them, but it's just like, it's so needless and unnecessary for mm-hmm. Sasha and Bianca to win. So I hope they don't, but it's also needless and unnecessary for Bianca to take a pin on the road to WrestleMania, which she's going to do whether they win or lose or not, unless they did.
Well, you could do a DQ.
You can't lose the titles on a DQ.
Oh yeah. If they win. Yeah. Okay.
Well, they could get a DQ though and set up a triple threat or a fatal four way at the next one. That way you keep Sasha and Bianca together for another, cause they still have to do another pay-per-view before
but
Mania.
But the thing with me for that is then like, okay, you're holding the feud hostage and the feud isn't a feud right now. There's still time till Mania comes around, but we're going to keep saying that, and then they're not going to have any juice behind them. Because right now, that feud is ice cold. Even though they keep basically hinting that it's going to happen. We all know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that. It's just, to me, it's like, she's the Rumble winner. There doesn't have to be a feud. Like, the match is stipulated because she won the Rumble. I don't need an actual big story. Now, going forward after the Mania, if they want to run it back, then I need a story to go with it. I actually don't care if there's not a, if there's a big story or not with it because of the Rumble win.
Yeah,
but even then, like, even if it's, I don't even need just a big story. I need something to be ignited here.
That's fair.
And I don't. All I need her to say is I'm challenging Sasha.
But that's the thing.
That's just the way we see it.
Yeah. It's February, going to be February 21st when this show happens, and we still don't have a decision. We're almost a month away. You've basically hinted at it. Just say it. Just say it's going to happen. You could have said it was going to happen. You could have kept up this tag feud. I know she's not facing Asuka. You haven't made her appear on NXT like you did with Edge. What are we doing here? Just say it.
Yeah.
Just say it and get it over with so you can promote it for the next month and a half.
Yeah. Well, and I think they will. I know Edge is announcing this week, I believe.
He's announcing after the Chamber show or whatever the hell, because he said he was making his decision at the Chamber. But, like, just do it.
Yeah.
We all know it's going to happen. Just do it.
Yeah. I mean, so let me go to...
Okay, so we go to Bobby Lashley defending his United States Championship against Keith Lee and Matt Riddle. I'm going to make this very quick. Keith Lee needs to win this match by pinning Riddle, and we need to just go on after that. That's it.
Well, because I know...
That's it. That's all I have to say.
I agree. I know Dave Meltzer said that there might be something going on with Keith that, you know, maybe this match is up in the air, which wouldn't be ideal, obviously. I don't know exactly what something might be going on really entails, but I know there was something the other day where this match might be up in the air. I do think, you know, if it happens as is, or if someone replaces Keith, that person or Riddle needs to pin the other one. Get the title off Lashley without having him lose, you know, set up Lashley and whomever,
Drew,
Brock, whoever for WrestleMania, and just go from there. I mean, you can have Braun Strowman replace Keith Lee. That'd be fine. He's feeling better, I think. Maybe. I mean,
they're probably gonna do Braun versus Shane at WrestleMania. So.
Well, yeah, but you know, or you can have like Ali replace Keith. That'd be fun.
Well, Ali's probably gonna replace Kofi in the Chamber.
Yeah.
Come on, man, that's the story right there.
I know
that's
but
the story. You I'm can't just, run away from
I'm
the
just
story.
Saying. I'm just saying, if you aren't gonna have Keith wrestle, you have guys who can be there, and Riddle can pin, I guess, instead of. You know, if the match was as is, I'd rather have Keith get the pin and win the title because I don't really care for Riddle, obviously. But no, I think I think Lashley needs to lose and not get pinned. It's that simple.
Yeah, I agree. Get the title off of him, move him up the card, put Lashley with Drew at some point. I don't care if it's at Mania, if it's after Mania, just move him away from this US title run, please.
Yeah, and I mean, I've liked it more than a lot of people, but...
Yeah, it's just getting... He's just facing the same person for, like, the past 2 months. I'm just over it.
It would be one thing for me... I have two problems. My one problem is the fact that he hasn't faced anybody interesting at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
The Lee interaction has been the most interesting thing, because other than that, he's faced Riddle, who is a good wrestler, but is a piece of dog shit.
Well,
and then he's had title defenses against freaking Slapjack and Titus O'Neil.
And
come on,
you know, not to you know, cut you off, but I think the way they're doing it with the Intercontinental title, where Big E looks strong but still
shows his ass,
able to look vulnerable, is probably a better way to do it because he faces other people. And you know, I like that they built in that, even said, like, you know, no more title opportunities for Apollo. He's had too many of them. That's good. That was good stuff.
It is. What they're doing on SmackDown, it's so simple, but it's so effective because of how they've legitimized E and how they've put some drive behind Apollo, and even using Shinsuke as a device as well to, you know, be what Apollo is jealous of. It's very simple storytelling, and it works.
Yeah.
And they have a bunch of dudes on Raw that they could utilize in this situation as a mid-card champ, and they're just not doing it.
Yeah.
Or even just as opponents for Lashley. Like, it would be one thing. I could get it. If he was a dominant champ and he was, you know, working US title matches every couple weeks against interesting and compelling opponents, but that just hasn't happened. So they just need to protect him in the loss, which you can do with a triple threat, and, you know, maybe do a 1v1 if Keith is okay to go, do 1v1 with Keith versus Lashley at Mania and have Keith win. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because they've put Lashley, they've made him this beast, this monster. If Keith beats him, that's great. It's a good seal of approval. Lashley's a big fucking deal. They've made him a big fucking deal.
Because
he never loses and he never shows his ass. He's never vulnerable or anything like that. And it's honestly, it is unfortunate because he's really good. I've really enjoyed him since he came with MVP. I've really enjoyed the Hurt Business stuff, but the U.S. title scene and the mid-card on Raw is one of the reasons why that show is practically unwatchable at this
point. Well, yeah, that's fair.
Just reprogram some dudes. It's fine.
Sticking with Raw?
Yeah, we'll stick with Raw. The Elimination Chamber match for the WWE title, we know Drew is winning. I don't want to say this is incredibly patronizing because it's really not, but we know Drew is not losing the
title. I don't know, man. I mean, they could do Orton against Edge at WrestleMania for the title if they really wanted to. I think Randy has a better thing lined up for WrestleMania.
He does. I mean, that's better, why they need to do that.
Quote unquote better. I mean,
what's your definition of better?
A funhouse match, yeah, with Orton will be fun as hell.
If they do another funhouse match and it's with Randy, that'd be very good.
Yeah, as long as they don't actually go into the ring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, Drew's probably going to win. You know, I guess Styles could win. That wouldn't shock me, but anyone else in this match winning would. And Kofi winning would be cool, but he's not going to. It's cool that he's in it instead of the Miz. Is Miz?
I thought that was, honestly, I will give them credit. I thought that was well done.
No, it was good. I like that.
I like the Miz's reasoning for backing out of the chamber. It was good.
Honestly.
And I like that they slid Kofi in.
Just have Drew, you know, go the distance or whatever you need to do. And who won the gauntlet? I don't remember. Did Drew win the gauntlet? Sheamus
won the gauntlet.
So Drew's not coming out last. Just have Drew go the distance and have Miz cash in and lose the freaking briefcase finally. Because you're not doing anything with it. You're ruining the concept of Money in the Bank at this point.
For the men.
Well.
The women is fine.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think Drew needs to retain. And then maybe we'll get some clarity on who he's facing, but probably not till Fastlane.
He's facing Sheamus.
Well, at
it's very clear to me he's facing match. Sheamus. They still haven't done. Yeah, it is. Sure it is.
That's going to be a match you really bury down the card there, right?
So?
It's your opener.
Yeah, make it your opener.
Yeah.
Shit, have them go 10. Right out of the gate. Hell, I saw somebody suggest this. It would obviously have to, you know, require one person to be okay with this and be, you know, approving of it. Title versus career.
That'd be interesting.
Sheamus might be on his last legs. We don't know. Haven't put his career on the line.
Yeah.
That's how you get some juice.
We've both heard Sheamus on his last legs for like 6 years.
We have.
So.
Yeah.
So.
We have. That's true. That's very true.
And then going to the SmackDown Elimination Chamber match for a WWE Universal Championship match. I don't know, man. Like, I'd like to
see. I don't know, because honestly, there's some intriguing options here.
There are.
I know the match between him and whoever wins this in Roman is going to be a quick one, but there's some intriguing options here. And this is a strength and a quality of SmackDown here. They have a lot of interesting dudes in this chamber match who they've pretty much all legitimized. Jay is Roman's bitch, but he's probably not going to win.
No, he's not going
to
win.
KO. They've done that to death, but he's still somebody that you want to root for and you want to see succeed. So there's some juice behind him. Corbin, I know why he's in this match. They always put him in these matches. That's why I was surprised
also,
when people were like, how did Ray and Dominic not win? You pay attention. Corbin also, always he's always a beast in multi-man matches too.
It's Corbin in a multi-man match. And also Ray is dead. So Ray died.
Yeah. By the way, props to Otis, who has low-key gotten much better since those PC classes that he took.
Crazy how that works.
Crazy how that works. Gable and him are going to be awesome.
They should. I don't know that they're going to do Street. If you do need to replace Asuka and Lacey with something, you could do Street Profits against Roman and...
I think your idea...
Gable and Otis against the dipshit dogs for the tag titles.
I think your idea, though, of Asuka facing Peyton sounds
about
right, though.
It felt like they're trying to set up some sort of triple threat tag match because the Street Profits are somewhere.
Well, they were on the show last night.
Were they?
Yeah, they were on commentary.
Oh yeah, they were.
Yeah, they were on commentary.
So they're gonna set that up. But back to the Elimination Chamber.
And then you have Sammy. Sammy's great. Everyone wants to see Sammy succeed, even if he's a mastermind. This is his first chamber match, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big spot for him.
Mm-hmm.
Cesaro. I don't need to explain. He's great. Everyone always wants to see him succeed. Bryan. Goes without saying. There's a lot of interesting people here. Hell, Cesaro may not even be in this match. Seth might take him out. I don't know if, because I think it'll be a one or the other situation with Mustafa taking out Kofi or Seth taking out Cesaro. But something's going to happen with those two.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah. And
also,
I mean,
Seth's outfit yesterday was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen.
I mean, you know, people were upset that Shinsuke wasn't in this match too, but where are you going to put him? He's doing fine.
Shinsuke's doing great with the Intercontinental title stuff. He's going to be doing great with it too.
There are very few complaints about SmackDown at the moment.
Except for the fact that Natty and Tamina beat the Riot Squad. Inexcusable. I don't want to hear
it. I think aside from that match, last night was one of the better SmackDowns in recent memory.
I agree.
Dan Bryan does a great booking job, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
He does.
He does. Also, as far as this match, even though I just suggested that maybe Cesaro gets taken out by Seth, I think Cesaro gets the win.
I do too, actually.
Because Ryan Roman is way too protected.
Yeah.
I think KO is going to be, you know, fall down hard on his luck again.
And we don't need to see Roman take out Kevin Owens.
We don't need to see that again, no. Jay, no. Corbin, no. I think a wild card is Sami. I will say this for this reason. Because of Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Because of the history there. If Sami wins and Roman goes too far, you could have those two intervene and maybe set up a reunion between Sami and KO. But I'm going Cesaro. I think Cesaro is going to win. They're going to put him over big. He's going to get the match with Roman. It'll last probably like 5 minutes, and it'll be fun.
Yeah.
So give me Cesaro.
I agree. I'm going Cesaro. I think Cesaro starts. I think Cesaro runs the gauntlet. I mean, he doesn't eliminate everybody, but I think he goes the whole distance. I think he'll kick out of a Superman punch even. He'll get a big hope spot. Yeah, he'll get a big hope spot. He'll get a giant uppercut. Then he'll end up getting choked out, and then you'll run a promo for him, and then Seth on SmackDown, and then Seth and Cesaro will be like a Mania match.
Mm-hmm.
And then you still have, and potentially if you put Cesaro over Seth, you could even run Cesaro Roman in you know, May or June or whenever. So, but yeah, I think what they're doing with Cesaro, I think it makes sense. I don't think they put Brian in there for the same reason you guys said. Brian Roman is a marquee matchup that you can save for the crowds if you can get them in that SummerSlam even.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I would go with Cesaro. And I would eliminate all the heels out of any consideration because they're not going to do that versus Roman. So.
Okay.
It is kind of like, it's something that Cesaro and Shinsuke get heated up after like 2 weeks. It's like, why couldn't you be doing this all along? But
everyone always gets their chance. No one is ever buried.
Yeah.
Well, you have to wait till after they sign the contract.
That's true.
Yeah.
Then you give them a little bit more hope, and then you yank it away a couple months later. And that's then the fans complain again, and you just repeat every 5 years. So
exactly.
I mean, Jesus, when they flip that switch, they really flip that freaking switch.
Oh yeah.
All right, so that will do it here, yeah, with the current stuff.
Yeah, we can go back to 2005 finally.
Yes, let's go back.
Hour and a half into the show.
5 hour and a half into the show.
I don't think it's an hour and a half. I think it's
hour, probably about an hour.
So
a little bit of information, news bites from 2005 in the world of sports before we talk about Raw.
Yeah, speaking of that, where's your top 40 song of the week from 2005. You haven't been doing that.
I have not, but I can do that now.
Yeah.
So we are, it would be what?
February
13th, 14th, week of, it would be the week of February 12th. So, cause this is up to February 29th. So that would be next week. Let's see. So number one song is still Let Me Love You by Mario. 2, 3, 4, 5 are 1-2-Step by Ciara. 3, Soldier, Destiny's Child featuring T.I. and Lil Wayne. 4, a bit of a riser from last week when it was 8, Green Day's Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Ooh, okay.
And 5 is Lovers and Friends by Lil Jon and East Side Boys featuring Usher and Ludacris. A Hot Shot debut was Going Crazy by Natalie. The Greatest Gainer was Caught Up by Usher. And so not too many new news in new appearances in the top 100.
We're gonna have a lot of Green Day this year.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have a lot of Green Day this year.
American Idiot album was huge.
Yes,
huge.
Also, Kelly Clarkson had 2 top 10 songs.
Oh,
Since You've Been Gone and Breakaway.
You know,
9 and 10.
Yeah,
9 and 10. Let's see if there's anything else there. There was not. So February 14th, Arizona businessman Reggie Fowler agreed to buy the Minnesota Vikings from Red McCombs for $625 million, possibly becoming the first African-American owner of an NFL team. However, this would soon be overshadowed by a number of PR gaffes by Fowler and his associates, most notably padding his resume with false and misleading information. Yikes.
Yeah, and he's part of the Ziggy Wolf group.
Yeah.
You know, they just kind of, they tried to put him at the front of it, and yeah.
That didn't work.
He also invested heavily in the Alliance,
which really
also didn't work out for him.
It did not work out for him, no.
And has since been indicted for money laundering cryptocurrency.
Jesus.
Wow.
So
that's a heck of a lot of money, though, back in, what is it, six and a quarter, 625?
Yeah,
For a franchise? Like, that seemed pretty high to me, but
yeah,
for back in 2005, I mean.
Yeah, a little over half a billion, damn. And the day before was the Pro Bowl, because that used to happen after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. That's crazy.
The AFC beat the NFC 38-27. And also, Karl Malone retired. Fuck Karl Malone.
Yeah, good. Fuck Karl Malone.
So that's all we need to talk about before Raw on February 14th.
Yes. Well, we have some other WWE news.
We do.
Following up last week where Amy Weber is quitting the company. So, you know, we talked about the flyer with the strip club, but flying back from Japan, she had an injured tailbone because I think she was going to work a match with Joey Giovanni at No Way Out, and injured her tailbone training for the match, and on the plane decided to lay across multiple seats, kind of stretch out because they're flying from Japan. And two Raw wrestlers got real upset about this, saying that, you know, she doesn't work harder than they do. One we know is Randy Orton. Is the other Chris Benoit?
I can see it.
I mean,
he's kind of a hard ass.
And then
Yeah.
And then Randy Orton throws a drink on her while she's laying down.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And then Dave would go on to say that Randy Orton's behavior with the women is becoming a problem, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, not to make light of that, but if they do a Funhouse match, they better reference that.
Yeah.
I want to see duffel bags full of shit emoji pillows. Just say.
Yeah.
Again, I want to make it clear, I'm not trying to be an asshole, but...
Also, I don't want to pile on Amy Weber. I hope she's doing well in whatever she's in now, but I was listening to the Something to Wrestle Again about No Way Out, and when she went to resign, she originally went to JBL to resign.
Went to JBL, yeah.
Because that was her boss in the story.
Oh, jeez.
Poor girl. Man, she worked herself into a shoot.
Yeah. Vince McMahon is pushing hard to get some mainstream opportunities in motion for John Cena as they plan to push him big time this year. So he's got a CD coming out, and they're trying to make him a crossover star, which...
I see that they tried to push him to be the male lead in the next Predator series?
Yeah, I never heard about that until I saw this, and I don't know... who did it end up...
That's... I don't know. Who did it end up being?
Because when did they bring Predator back? I only had one in 2005, but that would have been...
Well, they had Alien versus Predator in 2004.
Did they not ever bring... I don't think they ever brought the series actually back.
I don't think they... No, because...
Until a few years ago.
Predator 2 came out in 1990, and then Predators came out in 2010.
Yeah.
So it must have been something that just never... Because Alien versus Predator Requiem came out in 2007. Yeah.
So, wow, you know, and John Cena will become a crossover star at some point. It'll just take
about 15 years for it to happen.
Yeah. And now he's a big deal.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon's physical condition has become quite the subject of debate backstage, saying that maybe it's good that he is in a wheelchair and needs to need some help getting in out of his bed, because maybe it'll humble him a little bit and slow him down. It will not.
That sure didn't happen.
Kind of following up a little bit more on what we talked about with The Rock last week, you know, he's done, but there are clearly some hard feelings here, which you didn't really realize, you know, his contract just kind of ran out and no one ever did anything about it. And, you know, you know, it always felt like it was his people telling him not to be in wrestling if he wanted to do the movies and stuff, but now it seems like he wanted to be in wrestling a couple times a year, and I don't know. I mean, you can see why he doesn't come back for 7 years, with the exception of...
the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. Young Rock is very good.
Yeah.
I want to plug Young Rock.
Young Rock is pretty good.
Great. Yeah, I saw a great review on The Distraction on Rob's Corner 3. Yeah,
yes, I'm going to spend 3 minutes a week reviewing Young Rock on Fightful's The Distraction every week. Got a new gig.
Exactly 3 minutes.
Get into Raw. February 14th, 2005 from Cincinnati, the Fifth Third Bank Arena, I believe it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Jericho's here to open the show, and the highlight reel guest is Candice Michelle, who had a big Super Bowl commercial. Mm. The GoDaddy commercials were quite a thing for a couple years.
They were a thing.
I know Danica Patrick ended up in one of them. Candace has been...
I mean, Candace did two of them,
and
right?
Candace did two, yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't Danica like the face of GoDaddy for a while?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes,
she was like the main... Yeah.
Yeah. That's really how they... how they got their name out there at first. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
it was.
I don't know. Commercials were weird back then because like Hardee's would do the weird commercials where like,
oh god, those were really weird.
Where like Paris Hilton's eating just a giant burger while washing a car.
Really weird.
Yeah, it was a weird time.
Yeah,
weird time.
Sells.
softcore porn. You know, very big.
Mohammed Hassan comes out, says an example of American hypocrisy because Candace disgraced herself on television and got praised for it, but Hassan defeated an American hero in Sergeant Slaughter and got nothing for it, so that he should come to the ring and embarrass Jericho like he did last time he was on the highlight reel. Jericho says he doesn't know why Hassan's being so hostile because they're Arab American and he's the Ayatollah of rock and roll. And then starts being very Islamophobic and homophobic, and then challenges Hassan to a match. And Hassan gets the victory with the skull-crushing finale. I don't know what he calls it, but we're going to call it.
I don't think that they ever actually call it anything, because it was just that, and then it was the camel clutch.
One of the recaps I read called it the WMD, which stands for Weapon of Mass Destruction, which is super offensive, but would have been a great name for that move. I don't think it was called that, though.
No, I don't. It never really had a name from what I remember.
No. Triple H is getting ready for a fight. Ric Flair wants to know who he's going to fight with. And Triple H says JBL's coming here to confront Batista tonight. So Triple H is getting ready to fight JBL. We get another Hall of Fame announcement. Roddy Piper. So the people in Hogan's extended universe continue to...
Yeah, even though Piper probably doesn't really give a shit about Hogan.
No. But, you know,
Roddy Piper will always stand on that proper side of the fence.
Yes. Roddy Piper is great.
Roddy Piper was great. Rest in peace. Mm-hmm.
I miss him. He was great.
I miss Roddy. He was awesome.
I got to
see him more than once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was great.
Randy Orton is excited that since his dad and Roddy Piper are both going to the Hall of Fame because they used to be traveling buddies. Stacey wants to know what Randy's doing tonight since it's Valentine's Day. Randy doesn't really give her an answer. Can't have commitment issues, man. Come on.
Jeez.
Batista tells Ric Flair he's not concerned about JBL. He has to focus on his match tonight with Edge. And he also tells Flair to tell Triple H that if JBL shows up, stay out of it. Batista will handle it on his own.
Then we have Shelton Benjamin versus Gene Snitsky for the Intercontinental title. Jerry Lawler was very casually racist towards Shelton. Of course he was.
Yeah.
Shelton dumps Snitsky over the top rope and then would eat a just... brutal unprotected chair shot to the head.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Not great.
Just led to a DQ.
La Resistance uses a rematch clause against Tajiri and Regal, and Regal gets the pin after the running knee.
I am so glad the rematch clauses are not really used that much anymore.
Yeah.
Shout out to them for honestly, shout out to WWE for actually sticking to their guns with that, because I could probably name like both hands, maybe still have some fingers left over of the amount of times that they've actually had rematches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After someone loses a title.
You know, Regal didn't do the running knee very often. You know, he was usually doing the Regal stretch. The brass knuckles. Yeah. But
brass knucks.
I like the running knee.
I do finish. Too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
And then we go into Christian versus Randy Orton. This match was great. This was a really, really fun TV match. Randy's not wrestling with a concussion any longer. It's good.
Yeah.
They're kind of...
Yeah, the crowd wasn't into it right away, but no, they would get
I mean, can you really blame them after what the show has been so
that's
far?
That's true.
They needed to wake up, but Christian and Orton really woke them up here.
The ref...
ref was tending to Christian, and Tomko threw Orton into the steps. Excuse me. Tomko got ejected. Christian took the turnbuckle pad off while the ref was putting it back on. Tomko came in and booted Orton and ran away. Orton kicked out at two. Orton would go for the RKO. Christian pushed him off into the ropes and caught him for the unprettier. Randy Orton countered, leapfrogged him, then looked back and hit the RKO for the win. Just a fantastic, awesome sequence.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
Just a really, if you're bored one day, if you want to watch a really fun TV match from this era, seek this one out. It's very, very good.
Potentially a 2021 match.
That is also true.
Yes, very true. Kind of crazy to say that.
Eric Bischoff is on the phone with Teddy Long and says, Batista made it clear he's deciding next week, so why would Teddy send JBL tonight? They argue back and forth, and then Edge comes in, wants to know why Batista wasn't punished for costing Edge a title last week, and Bischoff says he can just handle it in the ring later.
Trish Stratus is here. We're somewhat better off for that.
Yes.
She says that nobody's going to steal her spotlight, and the other divas need to stop trying, and she would like Christy Hemme to come to the ring. And she said that the crowd used to chant slut at her, but now Christy's posing for Playboy, so that means that she is the slut. Christy said that doesn't make her a slut. Sleeping with half the locker room does. This is very 2005 women's division stuff.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great.
A lot of slut shaming here. Not cool.
Yeah. You get Simon Dean against Kane. Simon Dean's getting dropper entrances, which is unfortunate because his music is the best thing about him until he gets a segue. He's going to throw protein powder in Kane's face, but Kane kind of boots the entire container back into Simon's face, and Kane wins with a choke slam. Shawn Michaels backstage in a suit looking to spread the good word about Jesus Christ. Coach comes up to him and says he got a wrestling magazine in Japan, and Kurt Angle was bragging about eliminating Shawn in the Rumble and making him bleed, and Shawn says that he's aware of it. Everyone's aware of it. Shawn is very aware of it. So, ooh, that's interesting.
It is. It's very interesting.
Just real quick, go ahead. And I was surprised about this, Angle actually said on his podcast the other day that his biggest payday was the Michaels match.
Really?
Which is surprising, because he main evented a WrestleMania.
Wow. Yeah, that is actually very surprising. I wonder if, because like Shawn and Vince were always like close, so maybe that match just got a big bump.
Probably, because you know, you'd think main eventing in a 40,000 seat stadium would pay you more than you know being in the middle of the card in a 22,000 or whatever. But yeah, that was interesting. Triple H says he knows Batista's going to make the right decision next week, but what's the deal with wanting to handle the JBL thing by himself? And Triple H says JBL's coming after all of Evolution. They should all band together. Batista says JBL's not going after Evolution. He's going after him, so he'll take care of it because he's an adult.
Yeah.
I mean, Triple H also really looks like Lemmy this week.
He really does.
He really does.
Those mutton chops and the way that beard is set up. My
not
God.
The beard, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it's time for Edge against Batista. Batista hits a Batista bomb, and then JBL's limo pulls into the parking lot. So Triple H and Flair and Batista all head to the back. Triple H says, tonight we finish this. Batista tells him to stay out of it, goes outside, and almost gets run over by JBL's limo, but Triple H tackled him out of the way. Batista gets up and says it looks like he's going to SmackDown this week by himself, which, yes, I mean, Triple H isn't going to SmackDown. That's why he wasn't. That's why JBL was a champion for a year.
So he doesn't work. He doesn't work Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a little bit of a.
I don't think anything happened on Impact this week. I did look. We didn't talk about that. X-Pac and Billy Gunn debuted.
That's true. They did it against all odds.
Yeah. Billy Gunn debuted, calling himself the New Age Outlaw, I believe.
Yeah, because he was like the Outlaw for a little bit.
Which New Age Outlaw is not going to stick. I'll tell you that right now.
just take the S off of it. It's all good, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's all legal if I just am not plural.
Exactly. In the world of sports, we're going to zero in on college basketball. Illinois pushed themselves up to 26-0 with a victory over Penn State in State College, 83-63. They would also later win that week to go to 27-0 after beating Iowa, also on the road in Iowa City. Elsewhere, North Carolina rebounded off of a loss to Duke the previous week with 3 wins in 6 days, one over UConn, one over Virginia, and one over Clemson. Let's see, anyone else of note here? Not particularly. We obviously know why we're focusing in on North Carolina and Illinois. Let's see, 2005 in sports going through here. Lance Armstrong announced his intentions to compete for a 7th consecutive win in the Tour de France. Sorry to hear that. see, there's a lot of UEFA Cup stuff going on. Also, Gary Bettman on February 16th announced the cancellation of the 04-05 NHL season on account of the lockout going on. So they were the first sport in American history, North American history, I should say, to cancel an entire season due to such a dispute. Nice job, guys.
Yeah, we're probably not going to see that ever. Well, it depends how bad things get for baseball next year, yeah, I guess. But, you know, I don't think it'll cost a whole season. But
yeah,
we did think for the NBA a couple of years ago.
We did.
Was that 10 years ago?
And honestly, funnily enough, the next day or 2 days later, I should say, there was apparently a report that they came to an agreement that would allow for a shortened season. But the next day that was kiboshed.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Good stuff.
Also, on February 19th, Bernard Hopkins made a successful 20th defense of his middleweight title in a fight over Howard Eastman in Los Angeles. And he became the first middleweight champion in boxing history to defend that category's title 20 or more times, joined Joe Louis and Abe Attell, I hope I'm getting that right, among a few others, an exclusive group of boxers with 20 or more title defenses in one division. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat.
That is.
All right, let's go. And then, yeah, let's go to SmackDown before I talk about the new Hot 100.
Yes, from the Gund Arena.
Gund Arena.
Home of SummerSlam 1996, I believe.
And LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, which they do make reference to.
Yes. Yeah, No Mercy. The Raw, when they purchased WCW.
Yes.
It's from the Gund Arena.
Oh, correct.
So that's interesting.
And Survivor Series 04.
Yeah. Let's see. So we open with Rey Mysterio against Doug Basham.
No Tony Chimmel in the house tonight. Justin Roberts is doing ring announcing.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Sorry to hear that.
Rey gets a mic and says that he used to be tag champions with RVD, but the Bashams took him out. So now he has a new partner, and No Way Out, he'll be teaming up with Eddie Guerrero to take on the Bashams. It's fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
It'll be good. The ref is distracted by Danny Basham, and Eddie trips Doug, putting him in position for the 619, and Rey hits it for the victory. JBL wants to know why Teddy Long isn't doing anything about Batista coming to invade SmackDown. And Teddy Long says JBL shouldn't have tried to hit him with his car. I mean,
he vehemently denied such.
Yeah.
More than once. Interesting.
Teddy doesn't trust JBL or Orlando. And JBL says that if he gets hurt tonight, he's going to sue Teddy Long. Funaki, Paul London, and Shannon Moore against Spike Dudley, Chavo Guerrero, and Akio. Because we are having an elimination match for the Cruiserweight Championship at No Way Out. So we're hyping it up a little bit. Tori Wilson's the guest ring announcer because we're also hyping up the 2005 Rookie Diva Challenge at No Way Out. So midway through the match, the Rookie Divas come out with Candice Michelle's theme and kind of ruin the whole match. And Funaki and London and Moore get the victory. Funaki pins Spike. So get excited for the Cruiserweight match and the Rookie Diva Challenge.
Yeah. And we had our Pulp Fiction parody.
Yes, good stuff.
Fantastic.
Great stuff.
Still very good. We get the Kurt Angle Invitational this week against Danny Inferno, who worked a bunch of indies in 2000s. In the 2000s, I should say, and was signed to OVW for a little bit. He's taller than Kurt Angle.
Yep.
But Angle wins this one quickly.
Yes.
And then we get John Cena versus Booker T in the semifinal match in the number one contenders tournament. They ended up outside the ring. Booker beat Cena up around ringside. Cena battled back, hit the FU out of nowhere for the victory, and it'll be Cena versus Angle on Sunday in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
At No Way Out, the right to go to WrestleMania. No, they set this up nicely. They had Cena and Booker T, you know, their rivals. This kind of ends the rivalry here. Cena comes out ahead. Now you either have the hot new star or the guy who could try and be in a big title match for the third consecutive year in a row.
JBL tells the cabinet that he has fired Amy Weber because what kind of image consultant would put him in this position with Batista? You know, that gets the job done for tying that up. Big Show says he doesn't have any thoughts about Batista coming here. He's focused on JBL. So the barbed wire steel cage is unlike anything he's been through before, but this is how bad he wants JBL and the WWE title. Heidenreich is laughing at Booker T. Booker confronts him. They're going to have a match at No Way Out.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
Oh, yeah. Joy.
Luther Reigns against Nunzio. Nunzio's great. I like Nunzio. Should have been used more. He would have been my guy.
You know, Pritchard waxed poetic about him, and he has a point. He's very underrated.
Yeah. If there was wrestling Twitter in 2005, Nunzio would have been the guy they should have used more.
I mean, arguably, I could make the argument.
Yeah.
He could work.
He was good.
Talk. He had great personality.
Luther squashes Nunzio, says that was for The Undertaker, and says this is his yard now.
Wait a second.
Not your thing, man. Come on.
It's so ironic given so many things that have happened since then.
Yes. Undertaker's gong hits and the lights go out, and now Undertaker is facing Mark Jindrak in the main event. And
they had a lot. I know it's the road to WrestleMania, but damn, Taker is showing up a lot of times.
He went to Japan.
I think he's shown up more, or at least close to touching how much he appeared in 2004.
Just doing a lot of work to try and get Luther Reigns and Heidenreich over.
Yeah. God bless him.
Without actually having them win.
God bless him.
Make him look strong. Undertaker hits the tombstone. Then Luther hits him with a camera. Which, Luther let him hit the tombstone and then pin Jindrak and then hit him with the camera.
Man.
Which, okay. Luther goes up the ramp and Undertaker sits up. Carlito comes into Teddy Long's office to help him clean his office out. But Teddy Long says the only decision the board arrived at was they'll announce their decision next week. And right now he's focused on signing Batista, and Carlito says that it's clear that Teddy Long framed JBL. Interesting.
Very much so. And then we get to... I got lost here, my bad. So Angle interrupts Cena's interview with Josh Matthews. Told him he's going to beat him on Sunday, and Cena said that he's looking at a hungry son of a bitch who is going to WrestleMania. So this was neat. I think this was needed. I think they needed to have some tension built up between these two before Sunday came around. You know, they're two big figureheads on SmackDown. This did enough to help hype up the match. And their history preceded itself, of course. These two have been intertwined with each other since Cena made his debut 3 years prior.
Yeah. No, exactly.
And then JBL got the call that Batista had arrived. He went to the ring, reiterated that he was not involved on Monday, but who would believe him? It's JBL. Why would you believe JBL? He's a con artist. He's a liar. And, you know, they actually even, you know, to a degree, he'd been framed the week before, a couple weeks before, in the whole thing involving Joy Giovanni and the truck. So Batista pulled up in a really sweet ass Mercedes.
Yeah.
Like that car was nice.
Very cool looking.
He grabbed a bat from it and then smashed up JBL's limo. And then everyone, you know, went off to go get him, but they were unsuccessful. That left JBL alone, and, you know, Big Show came out and went after him. Cabinet came back. They started attacking on Big Show, but then Batista's back.
Yeah, it's weird that he drove away, but then knew to come back to save Big Show. But it's fine.
Did he drive away to another possible entrance?
That's true.
I think that's probably what they were going for.
Yeah.
And then Batista, you know, he comes out. He goes guns blazing. Batista taunted JBL. Big Show stared at him from behind. They faced off and ended the show.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Good stuff. Very good stuff here.
Got us ready for No Way Out.
It did. You know, 2005. Quick. This was actually All-Star Weekend for the NBA.
Ooh. Oh, that's fun.
So it was. They had a, let's see, who won the two, I wonder who the hell won the 2005 slam dunk contest, even. I can't.
Not.
Oh, it's Josh Smith.
Oh.
There we go. Josh Smith, who won the slam dunk contest in 2005. 3-point contest winner in 2005 was Quentin Richardson.
Okay.
Who beat Kyle Korver and Vashawn Leonard in the final. Oh, those are some freaking names right there.
Some guys.
And in the All-Star game on the night of No Way Out, the Eastern Conference beat the West 125-115. Allen Iverson was named the game's MVP. And also, Jeff Gordon won the Daytona 500.
Sorry to hear that.
Better name than Michael McDowell, I guess.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Jeff Gordon?
One time he did take me out to the ball game, called it Wrigley Stadium.
Oh, God.
It's just been something that's stuck with me.
Oh, boy.
He's also, like, this isn't something against him. This is an observation. He's, like, 5'5". Like, you look at him on the NASCAR coverage, he's so small.
5'5"?
I don't think he's 5'5", but he's small. He's little.
Seriously? Like,
he is not tall.
He's 5'8".
Yeah.
My height.
He's small.
Huh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, let's jump into No Way Out here from the Mellon Arena.
The Igloo. Pittsburgh,
PA. The Igloo. Not one of the... I think one of the last events that ever happened here.
I mean, it's open till 2010. It's open till 2000, I believe.
Yeah, but they obviously they probably shift at some point.
They have Armageddon 2007.
And yeah, that's right. That's right.
Bragging Rights 2009.
Oh, God, Bragging Rights.
The final WWE event was a Monday Night Raw episode on May 10th, 2010. It was probably not good.
Yeah.
Obviously, the site of where Undertaker threw Mick Foley off the cell.
Yes.
Unforgiven 2001, which was... what was that show? Oh, yeah, that was...
It was Angle. Angle won the WWE title.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the main event of that Raw in 2010 at Mellon Arena was Randy Orton defeating Edge and Ted DiBiase in a 2-on-1 handicap match.
There it is.
Also, the Nexus were there. Brian, Darren Young, David Otunga, Heath Slater, Justin Gabriel, Tarver, and Sheffield, and Wade Barrett defeated Goldust, John Morrison, Santino Marella, and Yoshitatsu.
What a team.
What a collection of talent.
What was the women's match on that show?
There was none.
Oh, wow.
They did not have one.
Natty was on the card with the valet for Tyson Kidd, but that's about it.
And she was also a valet for David Hart Smith. Jericho beat him in the open.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
Tyson Kidd beat The Miz in 41 seconds.
Oh, God. And Truth beat William Regal by DQ in 24 seconds. Batista versus Mark Henry ended in a no contest. Jesus.
The longest match time on here is the handicap match at 4:55.
What the hell happened on this show? That's the longest match. What?
That was the longest match.
That's crazy.
that's wild.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Wow.
Well, the dark match was Cena versus Batista, at least.
No. There we go. I guess they had a cutting edge with
God.
Why did Orton came out with Meatloaf?
What?
The singer.
I'm glad you clarified it wasn't just a plate of meatloaf.
Yeah, Orton was on the cutting edge, I guess, and he came out with Meatloaf, and
he had a new song that he needs to be Randy's new theme. Randy told him to hum a few bars.
Did he RKO Meatloaf?
I don't think he did, though.
Oh, dang.
This is also Vicky Guerrero being introduced as Raw General Manager.
Oh, my God. Apparently there was a segment where Maryse was with her jujitsu instructor.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Also, R-Truth was accompanied by Flavor Flav.
Oh, my God.
What is going on? Buzz Aldrin was also... Did they just have all the guest hosts there?
Yeah, I guess so.
Because Buzz Aldrin was there, too.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay. Gail Kim was with Evan Bourne, I think.
Oh my God. And people want to say that, you know, Raw's bad now.
This is
Jesus.
This is crazy.
The Bella Twins were with Flava Flav also. they had clocks on and asked him about his new show. Then Kozlov and Santino Morello apparently came in arguing.
Okay, anyway.
I always want to watch the show just to see how ridiculous it is. Anyways, let's talk about No Way Out 05. We start off with Ray and Eddie against the Basham Brothers, the WWE Tag Team titles. They spent most of the match isolating Ray from Eddie, of course, building the hot tag. Eventually that occurred and it ruled. Eddie went to get one of the title belts. Ray told him not to. In the ring, Basham did twin magic, but Eddie noticed and headed back in. He went for the frog splash, rolled through, lied down, played possum, and then rolled up Doug for a two count. Basham threw the title belt to Eddie. Eddie threw it to Doug. The ref got rid of it. Ray threw Eddie the other belt and hit Doug with it. And they won the tag team titles to open the show.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
That was good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I liked Ray not wanting him to cheat. And then like, okay, the Basham's want to cheat, we can do it too.
Yeah. Teddy Long tells the guy that when Batista gets there, make sure he's very comfortable. Then Carlito comes in with the wife, someone on the board of directors who had some awkward banter for a little bit.
That was really
who the heck was in charge of hiring like outside actors for these things?
Yeah. God,
yeah, she's like, oh yes, I really enjoyed the first match. Now I want to go back to my seat and watch the next match. Like, okay, cool. Good job. And Carlito tells Teddy Long that if he doesn't sign Batista, he might be out of a job. We got the first round of the Rookie Diva stuff. I didn't write anything about it.
No, there's no need to.
Then we move into Heidenreich against Booker T. You know, there's no reason for this.
Really? Yeah, why was what I put in my notes. Why?
Also, the second straight pay-per-view where one of Michael Cole or Taz say that Booker main evented WrestleMania 19. Which you shouldn't bring up in general, but it's also not true.
I'm trying to put Booker over as a big deal, I guess, and just saying, oh, we had a world title match at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Really
do it.
I mean, he's working Heidenreich. How big of a deal could he be?
It's true.
Well, Taker just worked him.
No, it's true. They're trying to get Heidenreich over.
Months.
Man.
Heidenreich will be a champion later this year.
Oh, my gosh. Will his poetry get better?
No, not really.
No.
You know.
No, it never does.
Yeah, the crowd's dead. They don't care.
Oh, it's dead for a long time.
And that's the worst thing that could happen is when the crowd's just dead. Mm-hmm. Heidenreich gets a chair and hits Booker with it for disqualification.
Then he goes to pin him.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't know the rules. He's crazy.
Yeah.
The faces congratulate Eddie and Ray, and then John Cena comes in. Eddie asks everyone for a moment alone with John and kind of gives them a pep talk about, you know, Kurt Angle and the pressure and, not tapping out. And I thought that was very good. You know?
Yeah, no, this was a good segment.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that they never got to revisit this though.
Yeah, it's true.
Because Cena obviously moves to Raw.
Yeah. Let me move to Funaki versus Akio versus Spike Dudley versus Chavo Guerrero versus Shannon Moore versus Paul London. An elimination match for the Cruiserweight Championship.
I honestly dug this. This was fun.
Yeah.
This was a fun little match.
It wasn't bad. I mean, we start with Funaki in London. The ref was distracted with Chavo. Then Spike kicked Funaki, and Funaki's eliminated. So we're going to have a new champion. Spike comes in next, and Funaki super kicks him, and London covers. Spike is out. And Shannon Moore comes in, and London hits 450 splash on him. Keo comes in next. London does a top rope neck breaker. They're both out, but London gets up before the 10 count, so Keo's out. And then it's down to Chavo against London. And Chavo wins with a roll-up using the ropes. So, you know, it made Paul London look good. And I guess sets up Chavo Guerrero against Paul London, if you want to do that at some point.
Yeah.
I guess. I just thought that they could have done a lot more with Paul London at this one.
Oh, like, yeah.
He should have got... I mean, I thought the finish on the Akio one was actually really clever.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it does more for Paul London to just get the pin. Like at that point, because he's got two pins on people that, you know, he had outside interference for, and then he gets the clean win on Shannon. But like, give him another one, just get him, you know, two wins. It's not going to hurt him any, you know, it's not going to hurt Akio any.
Yeah, that's true. Let me get the WrestleMania Recall, the gimmick battle royal from WrestleMania X7. That's fun. That's a fun thing. We get another round of Rookie Diva stuff. Josh Matthews interviews JBL's thoughts about heading into the barbed wire cage. JBL says he's not worried. He understands what he's walking into. Big Show has no heart, soul, or guts. Undertaker defeated Luther Reigns. If anyone else says anything other than that, go ahead.
Why does it have to be so long?
Yeah, it's not good.
No, and the crowd's dead. Like, the crowd has been dead now for three matches.
Yeah, it's not what you want. I mean, they'll bring them back with the last two, but it's not what you want here. Joy Giovanni is your Rookie Diva of the Year. So that's fun. Good for her.
Good for her.
Hopefully she makes something of it. She will not, but you know. Then we move to John Cena against Kurt Angle. Number one contender match. Cena comes out in a Bill Mazeroski jersey.
It took me a little bit to realize who that was that he had the jersey of.
Yeah.
Wasn't super well versed at the time. Like, oh, who is that? Oh, it's Mazeroski. There we go.
Yes. They end up on the outside and brawl over the announce table for a little bit. Cena goes for an FU back in the ring, but Angle rolls back out. Angle puts Cena in the ankle lock, but Cena rolls through and Angle ends up out of the ring. Cena hits the FU and Angle kicks out at 2.9, but Cena didn't realize it. Celebrating, Angle got up and started working the leg a little bit more. And we get an Angle slam and ankle lock. Cena gets the rope. Angle pulls him away. And Grape finds it, but Cena gets back to the rope. Angle accidentally throws a shoulder at the ref, goes through Cena's chain, but Cena kind of spears him into the corner and then hits the FU and gets the win. It was good.
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
I think this might be Cena and Angle's best match.
Oh, I would agree.
It's this or No Mercy 03.
Yeah. And it was cool to watch because, you know, this is like the night where things change for John Cena pretty much forever. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he had the title match against Brock, but he was never going to win that one.
And then the next year at No Way Out, he was in the contenders match that Angle won.
Yeah. But this one, I mean, it's clear he's going to be the guy to take down JBL.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So. Is this like the beginning of like Never Give Up Cena?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because when Eddie did the promo earlier with them, like that's what it seemed like they were getting at. And then it just sort of clicked like the Addison start.
Yeah. Because I mean, once he actually wins the title, they go away from, you know, the Ruck Fools thing mm-hmm. that they're doing. They switch to the
spinner belt. Yeah.
The spinner belt and the chain gang stuff more prominently. Mm-hmm. And he rolls with that for a little bit. But yeah, the Never Give Up stuff is there as well. Then we go to JBL against the Big Show. Barbed wire steel cage for the WWE title. JBL comes out in his limo, which is still very broken. And we still haven't seen Batista. So you can win this match by pinfall, submission, or escape. But the door is chained shut and there's barbed wire on top. So no one can escape. That's crazy. Unless
you're daring enough to try and escape through the barbed wire.
Yeah. I mean, they started pretty slow, but once it got going, I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is a fun one.
You know, JBL's head goes off the support beam instead of just off the cage, so he's bleeding quite a bit. Orlando Jordan tries to climb the cage while the Bashams cut it with bolt cutters, and Teddy Long says it's not going to happen. He ejects them all, but the bolt cutters are in the ring now, so Big Show gets hit with bolt cutters. Then they're kind of up on the rope, seeing if either one of them can climb off the cage, and Big Show chokeslams JBL through the ring. Which, you know, puts him in a bit of a bad situation because he can't pin someone if they're half through the ring.
Yeah.
So he tries to go and break the door, starts kicking it, and he's able to do it, and he gets out, kind of stands on the apron for a little bit, which, you know, probably could have just jumped down. But JBL crawled out, so he was announced as the winner.
This was clever, and the camera work here was great. It just fixated itself on Big Show the entire time. You heard the bell ring. You're like, oh, shit, Big Show just won. Not so fast.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, they've done the finish more in recent years where you spear someone through the cage and then walk out and, you know, that person's the winner or whatever. But, yeah, this is one of the first times that they really did this, and it's good stuff. I mean, you didn't think that JBL won, and you thought
he's incapacitated.
Yeah, he figured it out again.
Yep.
But so Big Show's mad now, and he brings JBL back into the ring after the cage is raised, but the cabinet comes out, and they start beating him up.
And the crowd wants Batista to show up so badly.
And then he does.
And then they go crazy.
Yeah.
He shows up in his ring gear.
Yeah, he did.
So he takes care of the cabinet, but JBL is backing his way up the ramp, but John Cena comes out and throws him into some TV equipment and then spinebusters him through the TV equipment, and Cena celebrates from over there, and Batista celebrates in the ring to end the show.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's clearly not going to be a triple threat between Cena and Batista and JBL, but that's
sure as hell teased it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They tease it, and I like commentary. Like, they're definitely like, oh, yeah, it'll be a triple threat. Like, there's no way he doesn't pick JBL.
Yeah. And next week, we get Batista's decision.
Actually, not next week on the show.
Yes.
Technically, it's next
tomorrow
day.
On the. Yes.
Yes. Well, that was a very long podcast. Very long show. But, you know. Thank you once again for listening to another episode of the Ruthless Aggression Show here on the Barbershare Network. You can subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/barbershare net. $5 a month, $10 a month gets you all the access, including the WWE Top 25 podcast. I can reveal that halfway through the month, Takeover Vengeance Day was as big of a moving day as I anticipated it being. Whether or not certain things hold will largely depend on what happens at Elimination Chamber.
Yes.
So that show is going to be very important for some, because if certain things don't break certain people's ways, well, how things shook out at Vengeance Day is going to make a big impact.
Yes.
But I'm not revealing anything, because what would be the point of that? You have to subscribe.
Correct. And if you enjoy No Way Out, we have one about 2000 and 2001 coming out probably sometime this week. It's, yeah. You know. It's ready to go. Just yep. A matter of getting it up there.
Yep. Most likely Pierce, you know, due to his.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm not mad about it. No, I just want to let everyone know.
We're just letting everyone know that we recorded it last week, but unfortunately Pierce is under the weather, so we weren't able to get it up. But assuming he gets back into shape, we will get that up, and you should listen to that as well, because it's a fun show.
The three of us, and we have a couple really fun ones coming in March.
We do. So,
yeah.
We really do. Really and then, you know, coming up this week, you can of course listen to all the podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud. New Ball Don't Lie came out today, about 8 hours ago. New episode of Summer Sessions came out earlier this week, one of the best podcasts out there. Cinema with the Guys talked about WandaVision. And I'm sure that a new one will be coming out soon about the new episode that came out on Friday, where, you know, certain things were revealed. And yeah, you know, so we will continue to roll along here as the road to WrestleMania continues. And like Rob had alluded to, we have some fun shows coming up in March for the Retro Review podcast. So you can follow me, of course, at Chris M. Novak, follow WWE Top 25 at WWE Top 25, follow Rob at Robert O'Neill 31, follow Chris Osborne at Hitman 99. And that will do it for us here. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Ruthless Aggression podcast.